Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney to Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I tell you, we have had a week that nobody would ever forget. Who would believe today that nearly 75,000 black girls and women are missing across the country? And nobody seemed to care. Even black folks don't care. Most of the time, we don't care about anything until it affects our family directly. If it was your daughter, you'd be hollering. If it was your sister, you'd be hollering. But it's the neighbor's daughter. It's the neighbor's sister. And we say nothing. Nearly 75,000 black girls and women are missing across the country. The story of young black girls and women are missing don't get the white girl attention. Remember when Elizabeth Smart was missing? Do you remember that? It was on every news station across the country. White girl, blonde hair. Yeah, absolutely. White girl, blonde hair. One, just one. Not 10, not 15, not 20, not 25, not 30, not 40, but one. Elizabeth Smart, the white girl that was missing. It was on all the news stations for weeks. 75,000 black girls across the country are missing. And nobody is saying a mumbling word. Even family members. See, our history is we run fast, but we don't run long. You see, we normally forget that damn, these black girls are missing. Remember that the white girl, Natalie Holloway? She came up missing. All the news stations. Everywhere you live, they talked about this. You never, ever, ever hear them talking about when a black girl is missing, that it stopped, it comes on the news and people talk about it. Not in this country. And black folks is so busy trying to be like white folks. They are. They want to be just like them. Mean and evil. You have a black supervisor. He works against you. Join the white folks against you. Try to get you fired. All kind of stuff. This is what we face here in America. We allow these people to do us in. We don't even understand the power we have. 50 million black folks in this country. 50 million. And yet still, we allow them to push us around. Because half of the of that 50 million is on their side, fighting against you. And then you got the other side fighting that side. And that's why it balances out. Amazing. Amazing. You know, we're in a position today where we can't even go to the hospital. You cannot go to the hospital. If you go to the hospital, you better be concerned about your health. Because this is how these people work, you see. And they use us, other black folks, to mislead them. Here in the city of Benton Harbor, we have what they call Lakeland Hospital here. And what Lakeland do is that, you know, you get the worst service there is in the whole wide world just by being black. You get inside the hospital, you get the worst treatment in the whole wide world, all because you're black. You come to Lakeland Hospital pregnant, ready to deliver your baby, and reason unknown, your baby dies. And then they try to cover it up. Doctor did something wrong. All kind of stuff, you know. But nobody want to talk about it because you have the news media feeding lies to the community. You see, they may have three or four words in their whole article that's true. You see, and then they play on words so most people don't understand exactly what is happening. You know, you go to Lakeland Hospital with a cold and you die. Who would believe that? You go to Lakeland Hospital with a cold. You go to Lincoln Hospital with even pneumonia. People don't die from pneumonia no more. But if you're black, you got to be aware of this. Because black people, they won't stand up for their neighbor. You have a few, don't get me wrong. Now, I'm not saying everybody. But our black brothers and sisters usually don't go out and fight unless it concerns them, you know, which is amazing, you know. We're at war. Whether you like it or not, we're at war. And we're surrounded. We have to circle the wagons. And I tell you this much, just as many bad, evil, wicked white folks, there's some good white people who don't like what's going on, even here in Benton Harbor, Michigan. They don't like it. They understand what's going on. But they won't fight in a group with us against people. But they will fight. I know I have a lot of white friends, a lot of them, who I consider friends, who will stand up and fight back. You see, what we don't understand is what do we need to do? You know, what do we need to do? We got nearly 75,000 black girls missing across the country. And you never, ever hear anything about it. Never. And if one white person, one white girl, and don't let her have blonde hair. It's over. You will not, whatever your program is on TV, whatever it is on TV, that program is going to be canceled because they're going to talk about this girl. And just like the young lady that was missing up in Wisconsin, that's all you heard. Every week. It was talking about, and don't get me wrong, you know, it doesn't make a difference to me whether black or white, you know. I think nobody should be kidnapped. Nobody should be missing. Nobody. And that's reality there. I'm talking truth. I do not like it. I believe in everyone. And I believe in everyone taking a stand and standing up for what's right. And I think we should not allow these people to continue to punish our community and get away with it. You know, even they're trying to poison us with the water. And also we had black folks. Who's the head of that? Marcus Muhammad was part of that. He tried to deceive the people, tell the people that the water was good, knowing that the water was bad. Darwin Watson, the city manager at that time, he's no longer with us, which is the best thing to happen. He's not deceased. He's just fired. And sometimes you have to fire black folks. You have to fire them because they won't do for the community like they should because they're being guided by the evil empire. But I want to say to all of you people out there, we are going to have to deal with these hospitals. We need more black doctors, more black nurses. And we need black doctors and nurses who care. That's the secret weapon. We got to find people who's going to take care of us. And And I have someone today on the show who's been a strong, strong advocate and fighting for the community and trying to prevent when we go to the hospital that we also get the opportunity to come home.
I'm going to bring in my good friend from Detroit, Michigan, a young lady, a strong fighter, been fighting a long time, standing up fighting, a true advocate for health and other things, my good friend, Marcina Cole. Marcina Cole, are you there? Talk to me.
Yes, I am. How you doing, Reverend Pinckney?
I'm doing great, Marcina. Good to hear your voice. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just tremendous. And I tell you one thing that, you know, that a lot of people don't quite understand, that, you know, that we're at war. And we, you know, sometimes we have to circle the wagons, you know, and do what needs to be done. But I know you got something that you want to talk about. I'm excited to hear what you're doing out there, because I know that you're doing a lot of work. You hammering home different things, and you're doing what needs to be done. And I really appreciate you, Michael. So tell us what you want us to know today.
Okay. First of all, it is a lot of work, Reverend Pinckney. I expected more cooperation from the black community. It's all about saving lives, including my own. And what really inspired me was, unfortunately, the untimely death of my son, November of 2018. My son had taken ill at my home, and he didn't talk much. He was sitting on the porch, just came from the store with from my car, and I asked what's wrong. He says, go inside. And it's really painful for me to reenact what had happened during those minutes and hours. Nevertheless, he came in, and he was explaining about something going on with his stomach. I said, take you to the emergency. He says, no, whatever. So anyway, hours had passed. I said, look, either I'm calling the ambulance or I'm going to take you. So I took him to Beaumont in Royal Oak, Michigan. And they wasn't sure what it was. They thought it was some stomach issues. And then later they gave me the very bad news of what was going on with my son. Took him to another room and all these doctors, which were all white doctors. The room was so crowded, I actually had to step out in the hallway, and my son wanted to know what was going on. And they said they had to do emergency surgery, that he had aortic dissection. And anyway, he was very, very frightened. He asked the question, are you going to put him to sleep or whatever? And he's like, yes, or whatever. And next thing I know, he was out. It was a 12-hour surgery. And I was there all night, and then the wee hours of the morning, the doctor approached me. Cardiovascular surgeon approached me in the waiting room and told me, you know, the scale of 20% to 80% that he would make, and all this stuff. Everything was fine, la-di-da, and all this other stuff. But when I did go see him, it didn't look good at all with all the tubes and everything. It was not responsive to me or whatever. Well, this went on for 3 weeks at this hospital, an intensive care, cardiovascular intensive care unit. He was supposed to have been alert, according to them, according to the various doctors, kidney specialists, you name it, all these doctors, internal medicine doctor, you know, claiming, oh, he's not alert and blah, 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 whatever. And it got really, really crazy, and I didn't know what was going on, but he did move one of his, his legs. When they asked to move it, I asked to move it, he moved the left leg. But things started spiraling down. His kidneys was failing. He had numerous strokes, and this was the result of the surgery itself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there were a lot of errors that I witnessed myself. There was the patient that was in the next room where the family member was a white supremacist.
Okay.
I'm there witnessing him telling the nurse, you know, I didn't hear what he said, but he said he didn't want certain folk in the room.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Next thing I know, black nurse at the station, nurse station by my son's room, she disappears. She's no longer working on the ship. What the heck's going on? And it was the strangest thing that it was acceptable at a corporate hospital to have a relative of a patient to get what he wants. When it comes
mm-hmm.
down to supposedly treating people equal in the hospital, okay, but not meet the, you know, demands of a person that's obviously a racist. You see what I'm saying? But they catered to that. But my son, as far as I'm concerned, they weren't trying to save his life. He was just a statistic.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
white folks for years felt that we can endure a lot of pain.
Right.
My son, well, he showed, even though he could not speak, with a tracheotomy, ventilator, all that and above. He couldn't say, but I knew he was in pain because his elevation of his blood pressure, this supposed to have been fixing his blood pressure, this surgery. My son would have been better off at my house in the comfort of home where he was loved by his mother and his family. Not by a hospital. The majority of the medical staff is white, including the nurses. Very small percentage of the nurses are a person of color. There's something wrong with that picture. So we already know, going in these clinics and going in these hospitals, they don't care for black work, for race. So I'm not, you know, people says, well, you know, other people as well. Listen, don't give me that. This hit home for me. I took my son to the best of hospital clinic, University of Michigan. I selected that place because he had problems with his blood pressure. Giving them the wrong medication, all that and above. Nobody could see that what was going on with him. Nobody cared, including the hospital where he died. He's been over there at that hospital. You know, they want to blame somebody else, another hospital facility, but you all did the same thing. Black men in the medical facilities treat them differently than they treat other patients. I know for a fact. I was going to the same clinic, University of Michigan Clinic, and they were more concerned about me than my son,
mm-hmm.
you see. So we always get in our head, you know, they list all these doctors and hospitals, they the best, and they all this. It's all a bunch of crap. Trust me. I used to look at the, you know, the magazines. Oh, this is a top doctor here and all of that. Don't believe the hype. They got to
remember this. They're always good when it comes to white folks. You know, they give them the best care. They do everything. And you as a black person, they think of what, like you said, they think that we can endure pain, you know, different things. I know this hospital here, Lakeland, is one hospital. If I get sick, I don't want to go there. You know, I'd rather go up to Kalamazoo somewhere and take my chances. But you know what's so important? Your son, he was there, and I'm really concerned. He was a young man. How old was he?
He was in his 40s, 46.
Okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm. He was in his 40s, but see, this stuff just happened. You know, he's been sick, but been misdiagnosed. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you something else. He had insurance. I mean, it wasn't the best, but he did have insurance where he didn't receive a bill if he goes through emergency or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
we as a people are treated differently when we go to the emergency room to get checked out for various symptoms. There are, and I can say this much, they are errors that the hospital does to their patients. You know, I've heard testimonies by people, various people, what happened to their loved one, and they're not here today. Not all of them, but they had adverse effects when the errors had occurred, or either, you know, contracted some kind of virus or whatever at the hospital, you see, because the hospital is a germy place no matter how much they clean it. So so it's a number of variables of why people die. We already know it's got to do with preventive measures and things of that sort. But when it's the onset of an illness and not corrected in time, because his life and many others could have been saved, If the hospital, the medical care had been adequate, had been, caring for the patient, not because of the color of their skin or the economic status. I'm pretty sure the doctors are being trained to treat a patient, with dignity. Not as if they're an animal, but this is what's going on in this society where we are treated less than a man, that's not human. I mean, that's been going on in the prisons and everywhere else. So, we have to deal with that as a community and demand that we want our rights to health care, and it's called Reclaim Your Rights to Health. This is the start of a movement. I cannot do it by myself. I feel it's the calling. But we have to get off our buns and work together and stop trying to outdo each other. All these different organizations, these activists or whatever, don't like certain people. I don't care about that. What are you in it for? Make a difference. Save someone's life. It's not about me. It's about we. In order for us to fight what's going on across the country and the world, and we're steadily being chiseled away, our life has been chiseling away, our rights have been taken away, insurmountable stress that we deal with on a daily basis. My son and I, before he died, fought against the system. He was a fighter, too, extremely bright. They cut all that off when they took my son and left him brain dead. In fact, it's questionable about the date that they said he died. It was all a lie. And you would think, 2019, that these things wouldn't occur. Just ask somebody. I can go to a total stranger, and they got a story to tell me. When I go somewhere and bring this up, what happened to my son, they got a story just similar to mine. But we need to stop remaining silent and stop worrying about what white folks saying about us, speaking against what's going on with our people. They'll say something about it's a class thing. I'm not talking about all of everybody's white. I'm just talking about the white supremacy that's going on in this country where they want to keep us silent and put their foot on our throat so we can't speak out against the inequality that's going on. And we're still fighting for our freedom in the 21st century. So we deal with a whole lot. My son dealt with a whole lot. That don't make you well. That makes you sicker. And then when you cry and say, oh, I'm not well, and then they just misdiagnose you, don't give them the right test or whatever, they just don't care. On that note, I want to have a wristband and something happened to me in my house. Do not take me to Beaumont Hospital and name some other hospitals as well. Don't take me there. I'd rather die with dignity in my home than die with strangers at a hospital who did not care. It's all about, you know, scratching themselves, oh, we did a successful surgery. But the patient is dead. Like, seriously?
Mm. Yeah.
So this is what it's all about. We have been on the experimental table, Reverend Pinkney. You know the history. We've been on, our people have been, did all kinds of things with our bodies, you know, for experimentation, taking body parts, all that and above. We can go on and on. So this stuff is getting more creative now, the way they kill us, you see. They poison our water, poison our food. We got a psychotic, my boss president, and they have all kind of ways to take us out. And they even using, when it comes down to law enforcement. So we got all kinds of ways. And now when we go to doctors, you might not come home to your loved one. You don't know, you know, that you're going, that's going to happen. My son knew it. He couldn't talk to me, but he cried to me. And when I saw him, all I know is the day I spent the night and the next morning, I took my son's female friend back to my house where a car was parked. I took a little nap and got a call from the hospital. That was in November, and said that my son's status had changed. He has no pulse. Mm. So I'm devastated. I couldn't even drive my car. But I got to the hospital, and I passed out, and I guess I couldn't talk really. And I was rushed to the emergency and all that, and I guess a $2,000 bill. Yeah, really, thanks a lot.
Yeah.
A $2,000 bill came in the mail from the hospital, you see.
Yeah.
But, yeah, but before that, that nurse that was on duty, the white male nurse, asked, was my son's father, was he white? And then he also said, just before he started spiraling down, because he was doing a little bit better. And then the nurse asked, he says, your son wasn't spiritual. I said, excuse me? See, your son wasn't spiritual. So where'd you get that crap from? From his relative. I said, you know what? She wouldn't have said nothing like that. And I just was so appalled by it. And then all of a sudden, yes, his status changed. The brain did. You know, and then, you know, but, you know, and I got, had gotten a lawyer and all that stuff. But, hey, when I gave all the papers to this big-time lawyer, state of Michigan, Metro Times said he was all that bag of chips. Really? Once they got all the paperwork and took them weeks, all, you know, hey, did it get paid under the table? Sound like it to me. But, by Beaumont, you know, they work together. It's a corporate hospital. It's a different suing the city of Detroit than suing a corporation. Corporation going to pay the lawyer some money to keep it quiet. 7,000 pages, you understand? My son, 3 weeks in the hospital and 7,000 pages? People say I heard of 40 and 50 and 100 pages, but 7,000 pages? It's medical record. Come on now. It don't take no rocket scientist to figure that out, what really took place with my son. And then my sister died 2 months later. We are dealing with a system, medically, medical care, all of that and above. They don't care about us. I'll give you an example, American Heart Association. I'm an advocate for American Heart Association, but I guess I was digging a little too deep about who they really are. They stayed away from me like the plague. First they said, oh, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. All of a sudden they backed off. And they not in the office and all that. I just wanted some information so I could have it for my form. You know, I want justice. I want to save a life, including my own. What the heck is wrong with that? That goes to show to me, national organizations like American Heart Association in the state of Michigan, their chapter, obviously don't care. They care about donations. They ain't caring about your life, because what was going on with my son's body, they never mentioned it. I didn't know nothing about that. I'm talking about the specific disease. I had to go to Cleveland Clinic to say, look, I need some specific information. They give it to me. They mailed it to me. And I still didn't get nothing from AHA, American Heart Association, you understand? I'm no longer going to be an advocate for an organization that don't care for the people. And so we got situations where other organizations, health organizations, ain't caring about the people. And so people must realize we got to dig deep, do research, come together as one, as a community, to help each other, because the system, this government, does not care. Anytime you've got politicians that get in office saying, I will set you free, I will do this and that while they're running for office, they get in there and they do what they do is destroy the fabric of democracy. They cut back on people's health care, inaccessibility for people of color, inaccessibility of poor people and other races as well as minorities. But I'm saying I see it when you got folks at home who can't get to the doctor, hospital, lack of transportation, no money. The medicine is extremely expensive. One pill may be $100 and $200. And they can't afford their medication. When I see that the free clinics is very limited and it's few and far between. But I just want to say that there is a clinic that I had to take my relative who did not have insurance. They're a young adult, Padini, I think it's called, in Southwest Detroit. I got to give them thumbs up. They helping people. They come there, they got serious medical issues, and the doctors come from other medical facilities and maybe do once a week or whatever, but they there and they don't turn anybody down. Hands up for people like that's been around 50 years affiliated with the Catholic Church. We need more of those type of people out here that don't say, okay, I can't see you, even though you're extremely sick, because you don't have any money. So we deal with this, you know what I mean, the inaccessibility of the lack of funding to see someone, a medical doctor, when we're sick. And another thing, we got to work on preventive medicine, you know, when it comes down to our health, you know, the foods that we eat. We have a lot of fast foods, and I have to say I've done it too. When I get stressed out, I'll go get me some French fries. You know, I don't eat certain foods, but, you know, I'm eating some because I'm gaining weight. Mm-hmm. So we have to deal with that. And the hypertension, we, as a black race, we have a lot on our plate. With all these cutbacks and being jobless and no place to go and homeless, all that and above, that affects your health. And then you get with my son, where he used to stay in Redford, white man called the police. You got 6 police cars, you understand?
Mm-hmm.
You think that ain't going to make somebody sick and they come in his apartment and take his kitchen knives away? Really? We all cook with spoons and forks and knives and all that kind of stuff and just come in there because what the white man said. So he ended up homeless, you understand? So we fought and all that. But my point is when somebody's sick and I didn't know he was that sick. And these hospitals just missed the mark. They looking at the wrong thing. The police out here are doctors and psychiatrists and lawyers. They giving these people the wrong title. I would call them thugs. You understand? We are under attack in all kinds of ways and all the stress where my grandson don't want to drive a car. He expressed about a driver's license, but he's really not sure because he knows that his friend's been pulled over by the police. He don't want to go. He'd rather ride on the bike or walk because of the fear of being stopped by these racist cops or systematically. You know, we got systemic, you know, the way the institution is, we got blacktop means nothing. So this is this racism altogether. So it's two's lives, racism, what do you want to call it? So it don't matter what color the person is, you know, they work within the system. So we deal with a lot, and it can elevate our blood pressure and cause a lot of illnesses, the heart disease, the diabetes, the cancer we breathe in, the poison in the air, you know, industrialized, you know, the GM and all, they're putting poison in the water and they mess it up. Next thing you know, they clean up the water and you got a situation like when it's Flint and all that. So we dealing with the oil refinery in Southwest Detroit, emissions of all kinds of poison, chemical, you know, in there, and people increase of cancer. So we deal with environmental injustice and all that and above. So, you know, and so we have a lot going on. I've got to find me another attorney. But you know what? I grieve every day. It's hard for me sometimes to talk about this kind of stuff. But it happens, and I see my son every day. I can't turn my light off in the room. So that was his room when he was here. And then he always called me, "Mom, where you at? Where you at, Mom? Why you always call me all the time, Mom?" And then he said, "I'm just checking on you." He's a little worried about me than he was himself. That's a strong love for my boy, strong love for his mama. They tore that apart. Part of me died. But
absolutely.
People don't understand. You know, they don't understand. With this rude awakening, I had to change the way I did things. People don't appreciate. I'm, for years, I stopped gun violence. I mean, wasn't even popular. Where y'all at? Y'all don't care about people look like you killing each other. Y'all don't care about the police killing somebody's boy, somebody's daughter. Where y'all at when I have this demonstration? You know, but then you want to call me up with emails and send me messages through social media, tell me about your event. When I got something on there, y'all even put that, "Oh, I'm coming." It's about your health. What the hell wrong with you? Because life ain't promised a minute or hour or tomorrow. They better ask somebody. I've had dizzy spells and all that, but I'm just saying how it can affect your life when something traumatically happens. You know, Reverend Pinckney, we all experience that, but we as a people, as a black race, it's more than other races as well. I mean, come on now. This racism is just too much. Enough is enough. We've been fighting the court, the criminal justice system, that's criminals, the prosecutors, all that and above. Stereotyping, labeling folks, stigmatism on mental health, all that and above. And you've got a psychotic president and nobody says anything. You know, issuing hits on folks. Next thing you know, they killing a whole bunch of folks because what Trump be saying. Okay, he straight up telling folks what to do. And he do it. I call that a mob up. Hey, he's sending out hits. Y'all can't see it. But anyway, but my point is, we have to focus on our community, like I said before, and heal. We got to heal as a black race. We got to stop hating each other. And I know I get mad at my folk too. You know what I mean? Especially when my sister died. And, you know, when they were clowning and all that. But you know, time's going to heal. I love my sister dearly. And that chemotherapy helped kill my sister. You understand? So it's a lot going on with the pharmaceutical company make trillions of dollars for you to be, not to be well, but to be dead. They don't care about, so you talking about holistic approach and all that. They don't like, they don't try to kill you, pharmaceutical company. It's all about keeping us sick and dead. It's all about the money. So y'all going to destroy the earth? Right, seriously? Y'all don't believe in climate change and all this other stuff that's affecting the earth? What's going on? So we dealing with a lot of people who care about the environment to really speak loud and clear. I had a freedom of justice thing, you know, with my conference call. It was like a show, Reverend Pinkney, and I talked about these various issues about environmental justice, all that mass incarceration, all this other stuff. This ain't no fashion thing. This is reality. You know, and I'm so tired of all these groups popping up. I can't keep up with this. There's so many different groups rather than come together with a group that's already in existence, similar to what you're talking about. Y'all want to form another. Then y'all want to be isolated from everybody else. And then y'all, and you know what, that fighting within, all that kind of stuff, it's time to move on. I'm focusing. This is the start of a movement. Reclaim your right to health. I can only do so much. I need donations. I'm trying to figure out how we're going to get fed. You know, a person came up to me. I won't call their name, their face. I said they're going to help. But you know what? I'm just moving on. You know what I'm saying? I appreciate anybody who even support me just by words alone. You know? But I don't need nobody's permission.
Right. Where's your event going to be held and when?
Okay. September the 14th. 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. I have this beautiful flyer. It's the Palm Car Flyers, too, you know, by my cousin, Stacy. She did an excellent job. Everybody says it's so professionally done and all that. I'm like, well, why wouldn't it be? But it's Harford Church, Harford Memorial Baptist Church, with Dr. Charles Adams Church. Been involved with civil rights issue for years. 18700 James Cousin Freeway, Detroit, Michigan, 48235. Harford Memorial Baptist Church, 18700 James Cousin Freeway. That's what it's called. It's on the service service drive up off of 7 Mile. And it's 9 to 4 p.m. What we're going to be having is medical health care speakers. I did need some more vendors. I'm not going to worry about that. Information on health, that's a good thing. So anybody has specific symptoms that they've been ignoring it, that information that I'm giving the people, the attendees, they were like, wow, nobody told me about this. And in addition, I just got a call from this lady. First, she didn't have availability of this a mobile unit to do free mammograms. There is an increase of breast cancer among women, and some men get it too. But it's free. All they need to do is bring the ID. If they have any kind of shirt, they won't turn anybody down. Just make sure when you come on the site at the church to bring your ID. And if you have insurance, bring that too. But you won't be turned down. So that was a good thing, was because of a cancellation, and I was on the waiting list, and that's a good thing. You know, in fact, my daughter, she was scared about the mammogram. She was supposed to go back for her images, and she never did. I'm like, you can't play with that. I had two sisters that had breast cancer. So my sister in New York, she's D.C., but she didn't die of breast cancer. She had stroke. They could not treat her for the cancer because of the strokes. But she had that, and then my sister had it. She was in remission for 10 years, and it came metastasized in the liver. I'm concerned about me, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not hereditary, but it is a pattern, you know, that happened. But no woman or young woman, is you're not exonerated. You can eat all the right things and still get breast cancer. You see what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Because we're breathing this poison in the air and we're drinking water that's not clean, you see. And the foods that we eat has poison sprays because my son thinks so, spraying and killing the bees and all this stuff. So then you wonder why we have an increase of certain types of cancer. Until we have until we speak much more louder and scream to the top of the hills and demand our right to help and demand that these these people, these billionaires, stop poisoning our food and our water. Until we rise up and say, as a people, and say, we're not going to take this anymore. We want life for our children and all that. So, and we want to take care of each other.
Absolutely. Marcino, listen, you got about a minute and a half. Why don't you tell us, once again, give us the address, the date and time that the event going to occur, and then I got to move on.
Okay, thank you so much. Reclaim Your Right to Health, September 14th, that's a Saturday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., 18700 James Cousin, Freeway, Hawthorne Memorial Church. I can be reached at my email address, greatmarcina, G-R-E-A-T-M-A-R-C-I-N-A, at yahoo.com. And then I'm on Facebook. My phone number, everybody got that. No prank calls, please. 248-383-3595. I appreciate the time. I kind of got a little carried away because it is an emotional thing that hits to the heart. I thank you so much, Reverend Pinckney, allowing me to speak of what's going on. It's Fight for the Voiceless.
Amen. You know, I really appreciate you too, and I know when you lost your son, how it was, and I you know, it's so amazing when you sit down and think about the health care, and we don't look at that. We don't see that as a problem. Most of the time, most people think that if you go to the hospital, you're going to be okay. If you die, well, it was just meant for you to die. Not always true, because, like I say, here in Barron County, Michigan, Benton Harbor, you know, these hospitals are killing people and using body parts. But on that note, I got to let you go. But listen,
Thank you so much. Let's talk soon.
All right.
So
now.
Bye-bye.
All right.
Bye-bye.
That was my good friend, Marcina Cole. She's having a very, very special event, and love her so. But now I got to bring in my good friend from Slidell, Louisiana, the one and only Belinda Parker Brown. There's only one in the whole wide world. There's not two. You know, somebody tried to impersonate her, thinking that they could be Belinda Parker Brown, but they can't do it. Because if your name is Belinda Parker Brown and you ask me again, I'm going to knock you down. My girl, Belinda Parker Brown, talk to me. Tell me what's going on in the world today.
Wow, Pastor Pinckney, I've been enjoying the show. My sister, I just want to give a shout-out to Marcellus and telling her, you know, how much we really appreciate all the great work that she's doing. It's so very, very important that we, you know, we address these issues now, Pastor Pinckney. You know, I just want to let you know how much I appreciate you, too, as well. You know, you my trailblazer, the one and only, that will literally, you know, give the people the change that they need to see, whether they want to hear it or not.
Amen. Amen. That's right. Say it, Belinda Parker Brown.
Yes, indeed. Well, you know what, Pastor Pinckney, I'm getting ready to step into a very important meeting right now. It's called the Blue Debt Rally. And we have none other than the governor of the state of Louisiana and all of the candidates that are running for the positions that are here in the state. And I'm telling you that this is literally going to be a historic moment for the state of Louisiana. We're going to do something that have never been done before. So I got to let you go, Pastor Pinckney. I need to talk more about it on an upcoming show. We got six highly qualified candidates, and they all are African Americans that's running for the top positions in this state. It have never been done, Pastor Pinckney, and I'm here to say because of your training, your knowledge, and the ability that you know that you have instilled in me to make sure that if they don't do what they're supposed to do for the people, we vote them in and we will vote them out. So the people are coming from all over now, and we're organizing and mobilizing the people to get out and rally the vote so that we can make the change that the world needs to see what happens when people unite and come together and vote these corrupt people out of office. And then, Pastor Pickney, help our children, help our, you know, all the issues that we face in America today. It has to start somewhere, and it's going to start with people exercising their right to vote, no matter whether they, you know, if they haven't done their research, then they need to listen to somebody that knows who they supposed to be voting for, like you, Pastor Pickney, because I know you're going to tell them who they're supposed to vote for.
Absolutely.
Dr. Oscar signs at the back of the car. You see they got all their signs and stuff up here? Okay, Pastor Pickney, I'm working right now in the field, and I see right now, you know, there has been some scrutiny that's going on because, you know, a lot of times all people want to do is politicking and politricking. Okay, but it's not going to happen on my watch. I'm going to expose everything that's not right, okay, and whether they're ready for it or not, Pastor Pickney, we're going to let the world know that this ain't about, you know, you and your politics and your money and your friends and your cliques. It's about the people.
Absolutely. And you got to let them know because, you know, some of the main problems that we have is with each other. You know, and we got to figure out a way how to neutralize them because, like I said, it's 50 million black folks in this world, in this country. And what they do, somehow they find a way to divide us up so they can stand with them against us and try to destroy. So I'm so happy to hear that you got those candidates and they're ready to roll. And we're gonna weave out all the bad ones. You know,
yeah, I want to get some of these people on your show, especially the young man that's running for governor. You know, his name is Dr. Omar Danville, and I'm telling you, he is a powerful man, Pastor Pickney. He is the most qualified candidate, and we're going to work hard to get this man elected in the state of Louisiana.
You know what? And I'm looking forward to meeting him when I get down there. All right now.
All right. Okay now. All right. Bye-bye.
Talk to you soon. That was my very good friend, Belinda Parker Brown. Just an amazing person who works extremely hard to get things done. But what I want to talk about, the nearly 75,000 black girls and women that are missing today across the country. I want to take the last few minutes so people can understand how important it is. And, you know, and every community has been affected by this. But nobody really want to talk about the 75,000 black girls and women that are missing across the country. You see, and then when you talk about, these children that's been exploited all across the country, all across the world, that's what they're doing. They are attacking our children. They're kidnapping our children and making them a sex slave. They're doing it. But for people to say it's not happening, there's something wrong with that because it is happening every day. What's happening with this, with Epstein, Trump, and all these other people, even the Clintons involved in this, we know one thing for sure, that this thing is real. You see? This thing is real, whether you like it or not, because it's happening right in front of our very own eyes. They're snatching girls off the street, and you never, ever see them again. They're not dead. They're not deceased. They're being used as a sex slave all across the country. We talk about little girls 11. We talk about little girls 12. We talk about little girls 13. You know, these girls come up missing. And they're then misused and abused, and nobody wants to talk about it only because they're black children, you see. And then black folks, if it doesn't affect them directly, they normally don't care. They don't care. They don't care about their neighbor. They don't care about the person down the street. They don't care about the person across the street. That's why they're able to get away with what they do. And, you know, my friend Marcina was talking about the hospital, how the hospital works. See, we don't understand the idea that body parts
is one of the most lucrative thing that's going on today. A heart, a kidney, a liver, all these things, all of them are being sold on the black market. These girls, 75 girls that's missing, their body parts are important. You know, but most times people don't want to talk about stuff like that because, oh, they wouldn't do that. You hear that a lot. They would not do that. They would not steal a person's heart. They would not steal a person's kidney. They wouldn't kill nobody just for a liver. Oh, yes, they will. And they're doing it every single day. Well, I know here in Benton Harbor, Michigan, St. Joseph, Michigan, body parts, this is what they're doing. Lakeland Regional Medical Center, right here in Barron County, they're using different bodies. How could you have a child, a baby born, so many babies that's dying? That's right. Babies are dying here in Barron County. Black babies, they're dying. You know, and the mother don't understand. They had one incident where, let me tell you how cruel they are. The black baby died. The baby was dead. And what they did, they laid the baby, the dead baby, in the mother's arm. And they thought that that was going to be all right. It just kept the baby right there for hours. And they thought that that was going to be all right. They thought that that was going to be acceptable. Because they're able to do whatever they want to do to our people. They do it. And we're not strong enough to stand up and fight back with these people. It's happening. Not just here in Barron County, not just here in Benton Harbor. It's happening all over the country. Body parts, body parts, body parts. They're killing people for the body part. You go in with a cold. People don't die from a cold no more. If you go to a hospital and you die from a cold, they killed you. And that's what they're doing. Pneumonia. People don't die from pneumonia. And Marcina's son, young man, strong man. But unfortunately, he was at that age where you can get the body parts. He was at that age where he had these strong body parts that they wanted. The heart, the kidney, the liver. You see, these are parts that's on the black market now that people are craving for all over the country, all over the world. You know, they're selling these parts, and nobody wants to acknowledge it. I would say out of the nearly 75 black girls and women that are missing across the country, that maybe half of them, maybe have been killed or used as sex slaves because body parts and sex slaves is two of the biggest money-making things that you have. It's unfortunate, but this is just the way it is. But I'm excited today. I'm excited to tell people about this. What's going on in the world today. And it's time that we stood up. How do we bring this country together after being so divided? How? How do we do it? How do we stand tall and say no more? We are in a fight for our lives. We're at war. It's just that so many people are not fighting. We are at war. No ifs, ands, and buts about it. And if we don't get it together, they're going to get rid of all of us. Including you, black or white, don't make no difference. They coming. Because they already said that there's too many people on the earth already. Normally when they say that, they start a war somewhere. But they got so many little wars all over, you know, this whole world, all actually started by this country. But let's stand up and fight back. Let's stand up and do what we need to do. We must take a chance. And we can win if we stand together. On that note, we have just ran out of time. See you next week. Same time, same station.